the Olympic Games on Off the Ball.
I was confident she was going to get a medal. She's a McSherry. Mona McSherry.
I'm writing myself into the history books.
All the medal-winning reaction on Off the Ball. Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
Let's start the news round with Ger Gilroy, our own Ger in Paris. Afternoon, Ger.
Hey, JD, how are you?
Ger, you're nearly there. I hope it's been a great couple of weeks.
It's been sensational. A sensory overload was how it was described to me by somebody who was a veteran of many of these games. And I would have to concur with that. It's like, there's just too much. There's too much amazing thing. There's too many stories happening. And, I definitely have been making the case the whole time. A third week of the Olympics, I know, would kill many people, but actually might be the best thing for us. They're like, you know, Cheltenham are wise enough to spread it to an extra day. And I know you dispute the quality of the stuff, but actually the quality of the stuff here is indisputable. So no one's paid any attention to loads of stuff. I was dying to see more of the diving, and I would love to have seen some of the judo and the wrestling, but Jesus, there's no time.
Yeah. It's just, I'd say probably in a month or 2 months, there'll be things that will sink in that you haven't even thought about now. There'll be things, oh yeah, that thing happened.
Yeah.
There'll be just things like, I remember like Michael O'Reilly, Pat Hickey in Rio is like, oh yeah, that happened that day. You're underwater really in a way. And then you come up for air, and then you're so much in the zone of what's going on. For example, is there the basketball final not tonight? You can't see that because of what the 400 is on.
Luckily, I got to go and see the basketball semi-final, and that was an all-time experience where they were in a big hole and they managed to dig themselves out of it by putting the greatest collection of basketballers on the field, on the court at the same time that there's ever been. Steve Kerr afterwards comes out and says, that's the greatest game of basketball I've ever seen. It's just, it's ridiculous. Like, and I know loads of people are like, no, shouldn't be in it. That's not right. I think that's drastically missing the point that what you're trying to do is suck people into the whole sense of the Olympics so that they then stay on the channel or stay on that YouTube or they stay on that TikTok channel or they stay, like the algorithm starts to serve them up a dose of gymnastics, a dose of weightlifting, some of the diving, and the amount of people who are interested in these other sports grows as opposed to it being the other way around. I actually think that having LeBron at the opening ceremony adds a frisson to it. That, I mean, that opening ceremony was pretty good anyway, so maybe they would have survived without him. But like, just having them in the Athletes' Village from time to time and embracing the whole experience. I know they didn't stay there, but certainly they were at events. You know, Steph Curry watching the gymnastics. They all went to see the gymnastics at one stage or another. I'm on board with it. But yeah.
Yeah, I was watching Ray Gunn, the Rachel Gunn, the breakdancer, on repeat on social media, the Australian, last night. So these are the kind of things that we go down the rabbit hole of, you know. So Rashid Adeleke, Ger. So 49.28, her personal best 49.07, fourth in the final. She ran a good race. Like I think she ran a really good race. Would you agree?
Yeah, look, like, Athletics Ireland or somebody very quickly tweeted out the ages, the age profile of everybody else in it. And you get the sense that this is just a little bit too early in terms of her migration from the 100 to the 200 to the 400, that these are more seasoned athletes who have been at a higher level for a longer period of time. And so, like, I'm fairly sure on the hard shoulder just before we finished up yesterday, I made the point that loads of Irish Olympians at the elite level have stories of finishing fourth. Sonia O'Sullivan in 1992 in Barcelona. Eamon Coughlin, it happened to him twice. And Thomas Barr's story was totally different in that he was actually delighted to finish fourth because it meant that, you know, he'd put an all-time peak performance in. I think with Rashida, we just have to hope that she continues on that curve of performance improvement. And there's no reason to suspect she won't, you know? Like, she straight away, I'm running tonight. I'm absolutely running tonight. Now, the Americans will be totally stacked and they'll be much better than they were in the qualifiers. You know, more than likely, they'll have the world champion from the hurdles who it seems might be the fastest 400 meter runner in the world, as well as the fastest 400 meter hurdle runner. So I think we're in that kind of middle tier who would be hoping to get third. And you hope that maybe some of the other teams, something's taken it out of them, or they feel like they've got their medal, and we can do something magical tonight. But it would be an incredible end to what has been a ridiculously successful Games across a broad range of sports that clearly showcases that with alignment and investment. You mentioned Pat Hickey. I wonder, you know, is it a coincidence that post-Pat Hickey era Olympic Federation have been able to galvanize wide collaboration, corporate support, you know, a much better, more streamlined, they work in conjunction with the Sports Institute and with Sport Ireland. And it seems like all the rows that used to characterize Irish sport, all the turf wars that used to characterize Irish sport, are largely, particularly in those sports that are the Olympic sports, they're largely behind us.
I was watching Rashida afterwards in the conversation with David Gilligan, and I read her mixed zone quotes where she talked about not wanting to be an Olympian, primarily about is about meddling to either win a gold or at least medal. She was browned off. I kind of like that she was browned off, Ger.
Oh, look, I think we've talked a little bit about this as well, about how this generation of Irish athletes are totally different. You know, Whiffen has that swagger and confidence. Rashida doesn't have that, but she certainly has the same level of belief in her ability. Rhys McClenaghan definitely has that same level of belief in his ability, and he was coming to right or wrong. So I'd love to overhear the conversation that's going to happen, I presume, at some point between Rashida and Rhys, and that, like, what did you do? How did you get to the point where you were able to forget about something not going your way and come back even stronger? And it has been a characterization of people having that newfound confidence. And, like, look, she puts pressure on herself and obviously feels the pressure a little bit of what the country had heaped on her. But I think because her semi-final performance was not good, it actually reduced a little bit of the level of expectation that Ireland's fans had for her. And, it's a lonely, lonely, difficult place to be to finish fourth in an Olympic final because... we had Dara Walsh make the point when, I don't know if I've talked to you about this, the Champions Park where they get all the medalists to come and there's a hype man and there's a DJ and it's on a catwalk and it's beside the Eiffel Tower and the sun has been shining every day they've done it. And it's this mad party where they put all these athletes who are finished and who have medals and they put them in a big room and they ply them at Moe for a couple of hours and they get them out to have a bit of a rave or as a mosh pit as it was with the rowers. And Dara came off going, Jesus, I mean, if we'd finished fourth, we wouldn't have got any of this. Like, you're nowhere. And so Rashida doesn't get to go to that Champions Park because it's only for medalists.
I don't like that. That's a two-tier approach. That's an unsadly an enclosure approach. That's Sarah Lavin has performed as well as she can perform. She's been amazing the last few years and she's not a medal winner, but to me, she's just as good as anybody else. And that's just one example of one athlete. For Rashida... I think it's about breaking 49 seconds, isn't it, Ger? I mean, Marilady Paulinho, who won gold, we'll talk about the other medalists in a moment, but she ran 48.17. Like, Rashida, 21, you'd have to think, given her age, she should be capable of breaking 49 and then being in the ballpark for Tokyo next year and then LA.
Yeah, you just hope. Like, that's the thing. None of this is a straight line. And, you know, her and Coach Flo are going to have to go back to the drawing board and get some advice about... So the first 200 seems okay... How do I actually improve my first 200 and still retain the technique and the psychological balance at the end to make sure that when I'm up against somebody who has planned to come for me, I can still hold them off? And like, it's such a weird sport, the 400. They're all absolutely wrecked after it. They're all like, you know, Rashida in the mix zone, I think it might have been 10, 15 minutes before she came through and she was still gasping. Like, it's a war, and you have to be physically at a level to match these, and you have to be mentally at a level to match them. And so that's the bit where she's got to go away and work on whatever it is. And who knows, like, maybe it's about running a lot of 200s to get that 200 speed so you're crushing them and they can't come back at you. Maybe it's about running loads of 400s and just racing and getting in those races and seeing what you can give and what you can't give. And, like... Maybe it's a better weights program, a different weights program. They've obviously done really, really well to get to this point. As you say, 21 to be so competitive has been brilliant. So I'm sure they'll go off and do the research and do the hard work. And you can't just pencil stuff in 4 years either because, you know, there is a good chance that Sydney McLaughlin ends up in the 400 metres. And so, there's going to be a rivalry there. That'll be amazing. This is going to be a great sport for us all to get invested in.
and not a sport and not a discipline without question marks over the years, and also last night, Ger. So the European champion Natalia Kaczmarek of Poland pipped Rashida for third, but there's a lot of legitimate focus on the athlete who finished second, Salwa Eid Nasser of Bahrain. And you spoke to her in the post-race press conference. Let's have a listen to that now.
All right, questions. We'll start right here.
Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball in Ireland. It's a question for Salwa Eid Nasser. You served a 2-year ban for doping whereabouts offences, and I'm wondering, how are we supposed to believe that you're running clean today?
First of all, I want to thank God for this medal. Being in the podium after 7-year ban and passing all of my tests, I really don't have anything to prove to anyone because I'm going to be tested after this conference. I just thank God for the medal, but I have nothing to prove. Thank you.
Okay, what did Nasser do, Ger, to incur that ban? What was her offence?
Well, this is relatively complicated, so stick with us. Basically, it's an anti-doping rule violation is how it's characterised. She had 4 whereabouts failings over the course of about 14 months. Now, it's kind of weird because you're only supposed to have 3 and then a 2-year ban is supposed to kick in automatically, but it seems like there was a delay or a dispute about whether or not the third one had happened in the timings. And the original case got thrown out against her. They did say it was borderline. And this is from the disciplinary group that has been set up for athletics integrity. The World Athletics Federation and the World Anti-Doping Association were like, hang on a second here now. So they took case against the original finding to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. And the Court of Arbitration for Sport banned her for 2 years on the basis that all of her defence was lacking credibility. There's loads of stuff where, you know, there was an address that she was supposed to be staying at, which didn't actually exist. The number of the building, the anti-doping agency guy went to test her that morning between the hours of 6 and 7, which was what she had said she'd be at the place. And they got to the street and the building that she'd filed the number of didn't actually exist. Now, they looked back at a previous record and found that there was a different building. They went to that building and they banged on the doorbell for an hour every 5 minutes. And ultimately, she claimed she was there and that they hadn't tried hard enough to get in. And the original finder was like, yeah, fair enough. You know, maybe it was a bit of confusion. The Court of Arbitration for Sport went back and relitigated that whole thing and found 100% that it's her fault, it's her responsibility, a worryingly lackadaisical approach to her whereabouts obligations. And therefore deserves no reduction of her ineligibility period. And then there's loads of stuff here. It's a 64-page document that I've tweeted out in the last while. And it's actually worth reading because it gives you a sense of when you fail one, you should be on high alert. When you fail 2, the next time you fail, you're getting a 2-year ban. And the reason that it's so difficult and the reason that there's so much administration is because the only way to get a clean sport is to be able to test people all the time. He maintained in all our correspondence with the anti-doping agencies that, I'm not a cheat. I believe in clean sport. And in their findings, the Court of Arbitration for Sport say, if you believe in a clean sport, then you make sure that your whereabouts filings are all up to date and correct. Because otherwise, people could just say, oh, sorry, it's a clerical error, or I didn't have access. I didn't have the login details, which was basically her case, that it was the Bahraini Athletics Association's responsibility to file her whereabouts, which we know it isn't. The athlete's job to tell the testers where they are so that everybody can believe that there is a clean sport. And, you know, absolutely, you can have one mistake, but to have 4 mistakes over a 14 or 16-month period, that's the Oscar Wilde quote made, writ large in athletics situation. And so she had a 2-year ban and was able to compete in the race last night and is performing at the level that she performed either side of the whereabouts failings when she was a world champion as a teenager.
Let's hear more of that press conference now with that athlete from Bahrain. So her name is Salwa Eid Nasser.
Hi, Gavin Cooney from the 42 in Ireland. A question for Salwa Eid Nasser. Salwa, given you disrespected the anti-doping, the principle of clean sport and anti-doping by missing four drugs tests in the space of 12 months, do you believe it was fair on your on the other athletes that you were allowed to compete tonight?
My drug test, they were never intentional. I would never want to miss a drug test because I really don't have anything to hide. So they were never intentional. They were just mistakes a normal human being can make. And what I think is not fair is me being banned because I did nothing. It was never intentional. So me being banned was unfair to me, but I thank God I'm here today.
The Court of Arbitration ruled that you had given untruthful testimony to them.
If you read from going to the wrong door, from going to the wrong address, and at that time I was not responsible to fill my whereabouts information, and them changing a feeling failure to a whereabout, a feeling failure to a missed test.
Every other athlete in that field tonight did not have the same issues as you had. Do you not feel that that is unfair on them?
What is not fair is me being banned.
And just one last question. Can I ask perhaps Natalia Kaczmarek? I mean, you congratulations on your bronze medal. It would have been silver had Miss Dassler not been competing tonight. Do you believe it was fair that you had to run behind her given the ban?
To w takim razie do Natalii szybkie pytanie. Gratulacje oczywiście i pytanie, czy swoim zdaniem no to jest fair, bo mogło to być dzisiaj srebro w związku z tymi wszystkimi historiami, które są wokół tego zawieszenia twojej rywalki.
Myślę, że po prostu tutaj byłam trzecia i na ten brąz było mnie stać. Wywalczyłam go na bieżni. Dziewczyny po prostu były lepsze i bardzo im gratuluję. Faktycznie Salwa miała może jakiś problem z antydopingiem, ale też myślę, że odbyła swoją karę, więc wróciła do rywalizacji. Jest testowana tak jak my też, mam nadzieję, więc wydaje mi się, że jest po prostu czysta, jest fair i przegrałam uczciwie na bieżni.
Okay, so now my translation for English. First of all, I was first here in this competition. All was fair. They were just faster than I was. Perhaps Salva had some problems, but now everything is okay. She is clean, and I don't see basically the problem.
Okay, what I observed from Nazer's responses there, Jer, were no contrition, no acceptance of responsibility for why she was handed a ban, just denials.
Yeah, brilliant work there by Gav Cooney. Should point out, I didn't realise he didn't have to give the microphone back after one question. So that's a big lesson.
Could have hugged it, Jerry.
That's the thing. But really, you know, that I've actually tweeted, as I said, I tweeted out the Court of Arbitration for Sport finding. And look, it's very dense and it's hard work to get through it. But she mentioned there going to the wrong door and a filing misdemeanor being suddenly upgraded. It's like, yeah, but that's what happens when you don't take responsibility for your actions. They come after everybody equally. And so if you want to be clean, and if you claim to be a purveyor of clean sports, then you abide by the rules. And the rules are you provide us with an hour every day where you're going to be and you give us all the details. But they were like, when they asked her for evidence of WhatsApp calls, she was like, oh, I didn't ask your man if he could give me the other side of the WhatsApp conversation, or my phone got damaged and I couldn't find them back, which I think is the exact same defense that happened in the Colleen Rooney in that libel trial, if you remember, when they went looking for some of the stuff that was on somebody else's phone in the Wagga the Christie trial. I was like, oh, my phone got damaged and I couldn't find it anymore. So, like, it's just not credible. And obviously, everybody from listening is going, this is pure sour grapes. But I think, fair enough, it's no good when you're beaten by somebody who, I feel, Michael Phelps feels, you should be one and done when you have an anti-doping violation. And I would tend to agree with that. Like, you're not preventing somebody from living the rest of their life. You're just saying, we're really sorry, but actually we do believe in a clean sport to a point where if you can cheat once, or if you can pretend that you couldn't fill in the forms so that we can find you when we need to test you. But then you're not really playing by the same rules as everybody else. And the difference it makes, the sliding doors moments in people's lives, you're on a podium or you're not on a podium. And you did talk about the two-tier system. It's a real thing. We fetishize medals. And even if something happens in the future and a medal is eventually given to somebody, it's not the same. It's not the same as being at the Walk of Champions, or it's not the same as being in the stadium and getting your medal in front of everybody. And it's not the same as knowing that you competed on an even playing field and you won or you didn't win. And I think that's the bit where it's actually no good, too late. One other thing I would just say, Kazmarek's answer, very lame. That's a very lame answer. Like, everything's grand now. I don't know. Just that unsettled me a little bit, so.
Yeah, Rashid Adeleke, I read again the quotes in the mix zone. She wouldn't be drawn on it. She effectively said each to their own. I mean, she can't cloud her mind with these questions because she'd probably go mad, Ger, if she did. But I suppose it's up to the authorities to be robust enough about doping issues. The question is, are they robust enough? And I suppose it's about, it kind of feeds into a cynicism about the Olympic Games. If you think back to Ben Johnson or Marion Jones, Nasser will say she's innocent. There's no evidence. She's not clean right now. But the original sin feeds into the cynicism.
Yeah, totally. And like, that's, everybody has to, you pay your money, you take your choice. I've decided to really enjoy the Olympic Games because I think they're an amazing jamboree of humanity where randomers from all around the world are meeting on trains and having chats. You'd never have a chat with anybody under any other circumstances. And there's a million world-class things happening at the same time. But yeah, like the rest of life, there is an element who are gaming the system and who are cheating. And you can be totally 100% consumed by that if that's your field of interest, and that's fine, that's fair enough, but the rest of us do also then get to have this incredible sense of, like, the 4x400 team were described as giddy goats in the mix zone yesterday. I missed it, but they're going to go and represent the very best of our country tonight, just after 8 o'clock, and it's so exciting. So you've got to have split personality, I think, if you want to be able to enjoy this and tune into it. Like, I don't know if we didn't even talk about it, but the women's sevens rugby team went viral in America for that incredible bit of skill.
Yes, yes. Where
I'd forgotten about that until a few minutes ago. And that justifies the existence of the sevens rugby program in many ways. Because everybody's like, oh, there was a graph of interest in sevens rugby that somebody published recently, and it has exploded as a result of the Olympic Games. And particularly, I think, because those first few days, there was nothing else on. So, yeah, absolutely. You're right to be cynical and you're right to ask questions. And that's why we're asking questions. And we're trying to get as many people as we can on the record. In instances, I asked Novak Djokovic if he thought tennis was a clean sport. He said he thinks it's a clean sport. He's got no evidence until otherwise. And you have to ask these questions. But equally, I really enjoyed the tennis match between Djokovic and Alcaraz and Djokovic and Nadal. So if that makes me a stooge or a patsy, fair enough. But yeah, I think you can do both.
Many things can be true, Ger. I was in Spain, I was on leave, and then I was on the bus today and I watched the McClenahan pommel horse final. I hadn't seen it until today, and I started tearing up because I was thinking, this guy's been waiting 3 years for this moment, and to execute under that pressure was just unbelievable. And you can see it in the reaction that he gave. So you can have the joy, you can have the euphoria. We're not blinkered in having that. It's just all the complexities and shades of life. And I suppose, to use the French word, denouement, I was legally going through the scores here. We're third best in terms of times this year for the 4x400 meter relay behind the USA and the Netherlands. So we're not out of this. Rashida, like, somebody's going to unfortunately miss out, whether it's Kelly McGorry or Phil Healy, but we've got a chance here in this final tonight.
We do have a chance. You do feel it's a fight for third.
Yeah.
But, random stuff happens in relays. Somebody gets in the wrong lane accidentally. Somebody has a blistering opening that gives you the opening lane or the inside lane. And so you actually end up running a much shorter race than everybody else. And all of a sudden, something magical happens. So look, I think all you can do is tune in and believe. The 4x400 is definitely my favorite thing to watch because it's so chaotic. And the sprinters are used to running in their own lane. And now all of a sudden, they need to be able to kick and elbow and look at other people and go, what are you in my lane? Get out of it. It's beautiful chaos.
And how will you wrap up the games? Will you go to the closing ceremony, Ger, or will you have checked out by then?
I don't know. Again, I was talking to a veteran of the whole thing who was like, the sensory overload is somewhat overwhelming. And I don't know. This, to some talk, Tom Cruise might be involved. I don't want to miss it. But also, I do have to pack. You know, I've managed to accumulate a lot of tat over the last 2.5 weeks. So we'll see.
Enjoy tonight, Ger.
Cheers, JD.
Ger Gilroy live in Paris there at the Olympic Games.
Off the Ball Daily.
The Olympic Games on Off the Ball.
I was confident she was going to get a medal. She's a McSherry. Mona McSherry.
I'm writing myself into the history books.
All the medal-winning reaction on Off the Ball. Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.